This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show. Jags win 24-6 over the Cleveland Browns. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor has left the building after the Jaguars run their way to a victory today over the Browns.
I promised you in the pregame. I said, first of all, I felt good about this, right? I didn't even know why. Just felt good about it this week. I promised you a week of niceness.
Just get ready, folks, because this is going to be a week of Mike Dempsey you've never seen in the history of his history in Jacksonville.
I'm going to give you a week of trying to be nice. That's what I can guarantee. I can try my best.
Wait a minute. Oh, now you've already turned.
I can't guarantee
before
it.
The game, it's all sunshine, rainbows all week.
I'm just curious because there are a lot of naysayers out there, a lot of negativity.
Whoa,
always, right?
Really?
Yes. And I'm wondering, are we going to get, yeah, we won, but? Or are they, the Jag fans, finally just going to embrace how fantastic it feels to get a victory on this field today?
1-800-355-NFL-1 if you're outside of the area. 355-6351, the number locally, as the Jags beat the Browns. First September-October home win since 2011. First 100-yard rushing day for a Jags back since December of last year when Todman did it against Buffalo. The Jags improved to 1-6, 1-2 at home. Gus Bradley now 5-18 as the Jags head coach. The Jaguars 11-5 overall against Cleveland. Back-to-back wins against the Browns now, and wins in three of the last four meetings against the Cleveland franchise.
And you feel better, I think, JP, than if Blake Bortles had gone out and thrown for 350 today and they were still stuck in the mud in the running game. Because you'd still say, wow, what is it that we can't get over this hump? We won despite the fact that we continue to have that problem. You've already seen Blake Bortles play well this year. You expect to see a lot more of that in the near and long-term future. But you can look and say, well, maybe we found something with Denard Robinson in this running game. The defense now, this is three good weeks in a row. Today was exceptional on that side of the football. So that's what we'd hope to see. Not to this level. You can't expect that level of play week in, week out, but you're consistently now talking about a team that has given up 32 points defensively. Throw out the defensive touchdowns that opponents have scored. So 32 points over the last 3 weeks, just over 10 a game. You're going to win a lot of football games if you keep that up.
Three straight games that the D has held the opponent under 20 points. That's the first time they've done it three games in a row since 2007. It's been a while. Defense playing well. It was advertised this year at the start of the year as a defense that could be a top 10 unit, that all these new guys up front and all this and that, the young secondary now in their second year moving along. In just the first few weeks of the season, it wasn't close. Now you felt it. The last few weeks, they finally got the W to prove it today. And a good game all around.
Let's hear what they have to say.
Defensively and on the ground for this team.
You know, look, you're feeling great, I think, if you're a Jag fan today. Because like I said, you know that quarterback's going to have many good days ahead, and that passing game will as well, at least you hope. And the rest of the elements all there today. Special teams contribution as well for the first time, really, of note this year. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
Here we go.
Post-game show.
Let's get into this.
All right, let's do it.
Just to be fun today.
Let's go to Dave in Mandarin, going to start us off here on the Scoreboard Show. What's up, Dave?
Hey, man, appreciate the call. Listen, man, the 24-hour rule with the team or 12-hour rule, whatever that is, we're going to go ahead as Jag fans and we're going to do the one-week rule. We're going to embrace this win and we're going to enjoy this win for the entire week, man. Bortles had a couple of comments there after the game. They asked him how his play was. He said it was bad. Asked him how it felt. He said it felt great. Man, he is our future. He is our franchise quarterback, and we need to get behind this guy. It's just good to see him taking a few shots and stuff down the middle. A little concerned about Branch's injury. I heard it was a groin, soft tissue injury. So we'll wish him the best. But good show, guys. I'll hang up and listen to you. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate that. A couple of quick things on the injury front.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union tweeting out a short time ago, Posluszny's right arm in a sling after the game, but x-rays on Bowanko negative, so at least that's one positive.
And we haven't seen much of an update on Andre Branch yet. That's one thing we I haven't seen it yet. I haven't either. Still waiting on that.
And as far as that goes with the, you know, the 24-hour rule and enjoying this win for the week, Gus Bradley, I can't find the exact quote, but it was something along the lines where he said, you know, typically we don't revel in success. It's about the process, right? We don't focus on the results, because if you focus on the good results, you got to dwell on the bad results. He said, we're going to revel in this one a little bit. So I think, you know, he realizes this is a weight off his shoulder, his team's shoulder, and what this does for the fan base gets him charged up right now.
I'm interested to see the locker room video. I'm sure Jaguars.com will have exclusive video of that coming up. Is my guess that they were in there today. They haven't been. It's been a tough go of it lately, but that's where you'll see it first, and it should be if they were in there the next hour or so.
Did Shad Khan crowd surf the locker room? That's what I want to know. I think that's a question that needs answering.
He might
right
be
now.
Crowd surfing on the Clevelander deck.
Good right for now. Him. Let's go to Lucas in Gainesville next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Lucas. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing good. I just want to point out a little positive note after a Jaguars win, which is nice to say. I came into the game thinking Bortles was the one sure thing, that he was going to perform well and everything else was up for question. And afterwards, it was like every other part of the team, the defense, the running game, everyone played good and Bortles struggled. So it was nice to see the team around Bortles, put up a good performance. And, that's encouraging that we don't got to rely on just one guy. You know, I'll take it off the air.
I think, absolutely. We've echoed that sentiment throughout the last hour or so. I mean, good days are ahead for Blake Bortles based on what you've seen already. So for him to go out there, not perform well, and for the Jags to ultimately pull away and win this one pretty easily, at least on the scoreboard, that's really the story here, JP, is the defense time and again, despite turnovers, despite, you know, punts, stall drives, what have you, Cleveland could never – really piece anything together. And they hit a big play here or there, but so few and far between. You know they kept the Jags within a score and allowed them time to overtake Cleveland, and then just held them at arm's length the rest of the game.
I'm looking at Cleveland's drive chart here. Punt and 8 plays total in the first two drives. 4 plays, negative 5 yards on the 40-yard field goal for Gundiff. Punt 22-yard field goal after a 14-play drive, really their best of the day, but they couldn't get it done. They tried that turn, tried for it on fourth down the next drive, couldn't get that. So that was their first half, and that was how it went, and that was the theme of the day for this Cleveland offense. And I'm sure we'll get to the decision-making from the Cleveland head coach today at some point today, too, because of those, you know, going for it on fourth down twice in questionable circumstances. You had to go the third time.
Well, but we question them, but the Jags defense still has to make those plays
still
to
make
stop
the play.
Them.
Right.
So, you know, and
they did.
0-for-3 on fourth down for Cleveland.
And today, that was just the story of the day for Cleveland. They couldn't get anything going, and it was because of that Jaguars defense.
355 NFL 1. Let's go to Orange Park. Nathan, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
What's up?
How
What's
you
on your
doing?
Mind? Hello?
He's gone.
Hey, I'm doing all right, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. What's going on?
All right. No, I was just wondering, after Denard's performance today, do you think that we're actually going to see maybe a one-back performance here now, and we can just, like, sit Storm Johnson and let everybody develop and try to get this running game going? I'll take your answer off the air.
Sure.
Well, they talked about it on the broadcast today. I mean, this – might be the start of something. A lot of 3 wide receiver sets with one back. And if it's Denard, I don't know how you take Denard Robinson out of the lineup after what he did today. I mean, the guy ran for whatever he ran for, 127 on 22 carries. It's hard to take that away from the starting lineup in a start today for Robinson.
What did we look at over his first 22 games of his career coming in today? Was it 160 or 180 yards total rushing?
Combined. And
combined.
22
games. In all his appearances, didn't get touches in all those games, but in those games in his career, had 127 today. And here's the division of labor. He had 22 carries. Storm Johnson got 6, because you can't carry it every single time. Marquise Lee had a couple of end-arounds. So in terms of the tailbacks, 22 out of the 28 went to Denard Robinson. Todman didn't get any touches. He did catch that very important screen pass that went for 26 yards and picked up a big first down. But, you know, right now when Toby Gerhart gets back, he's going to have to work very hard to pull touches if Denard continues to play this way. Now, this is one game, but you would expect, at least for the very near term, they're going to give him the heavy majority of the workload.
And just talking to Gerhardt this week in the locker room, it sounds like he feels that next week could be the week where he's back. But, hey, like you said, he's got to fight for it too. The way that played today, he's not going to be just inserted back into a starting role. That's not how that's going to work. Let's take a break. First time out on the scoreboard show, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. More of the scoreboard show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Jags win it 24-6 over the Cleveland Browns. The Scoreboard Show continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. Let's update some scores now in the National Football League games ongoing. It's halftime in San Diego. The Chargers lead the Chiefs 14-10. Phillip Rivers with two touchdown passes today, one of those to Gates. Cardinals lead the Raiders 14-7. That's inside of a minute to play in the first half. That is in Oakland. The Raiders are looking for their first win today, too. They're 0-5 entering the game. They've had some turmoil in Oakland the last couple of weeks. Late second quarter, Giants and Cowboys tied at 14 in Dallas in a big battle in the NFC East. Then the of course, the nightcap tonight. Niners at the Broncos, and Peyton Manning going for the touchdown record a little bit later.
Yeah, the Raiders obviously have already switched coaches. And the one thing, look, Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, we're in no danger of anything, okay? But
well, ask the fans that in the last couple of weeks.
But that's
right?
That's my point. I mean, but they may be in the court of public opinion. That's one thing. But from the Shad Khan regime, they were not in any kind of danger. But at least this stems that kind of talk.
The view of the vocal minority. I don't think it's the public.
No, correct. But there is, I mean, and that's what you get when people are upset. You get the people who are most upset checking in.
I don't think we're going to hear from that vocal minority today.
Let them try.
Come on, yeah, bring it.
Say whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Let's find out what Al downtown wants to say. 355-NFL-1, the number. Hi, Al. How are you?
Fantastic, guys. How are you today?
Feeling a lot better.
We're happy.
Yeah, I just ran into a guy at the gas station, and we just both had this big grin on our face. Didn't even say anything. It was just like, we just kind of knew it. It was like mind meld. Hey, a couple of quick questions and comment. One comment on Denard Robinson. There was one play, and I don't remember if it was the first or second half. He had gotten knocked back. It almost looked like he was about to fall down. And he kept his balance and then surged forward. We didn't gain, but I thought it was a real tell on how hard he ran. I'd never seen him run harder than he ran today, and that was just really enlightening. The other quick comment is Blake, and we talk about, he didn't have his great game, really his first off game as a rookie, but I think the way he carried himself once again just demonstrated that super high level of maturity that we already know he has, and that's refreshing to see, to keep his head about him. Real quick question, I'll jump off. Two things. First, injury report. I missed it earlier. Want to see what the status was with Branch. And then also, we're talking a lot about the run, but wasn't the offensive line seemed like they somehow figured it out today. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were, how they're going to stack up against the Miami defense that can be a little stout.
Gotcha. All right, a lot of things in that.
Yeah, let's start with Denard. I mean, remember this whole offseason he put on 15 pounds of muscle and was running a little bit lower with the pad level and just felt like more of a running back. I asked him a bunch of times in the locker room, do you feel like a running back now? I said, yeah, getting there. You know, it's closer and closer. Well, it's obvious today when he goes into the line and, he may not be the power guy that Gerhardt's supposed to be and can't move a pile like that, but he'll stay upright and somehow find a seam and get that extra 2 or 3 yards if he falls forward, and that's very valuable in this league.
You got to change your mindset, right? I mean, because if you're Denard Robinson, you're used to being a broken field runner as a quarterback and getting guys in uncomfortable positions trying to catch you with your quickness and speed, and you run through some of those big holes and take off. it's not like that in the NFL, certainly, you know, whether you're a quarterback or a running back as he is. And I remember the play that Al is talking about specifically. He kind of spun off and just got back to the original line of scrimmage. And I think all day, JP, I can't recall a single instance where he got really driven back for a loss. I mean, at least he was, you know, sometimes you're going to get tackled on the spot, but more often than not, he's falling forward. And I noticed very early on, breaking tackles, arm tackles, you know, and that's the thing with him. He's not still not going to be the biggest guy. He's not the Toby Gerhardt type runner who you expect to run through two or three tackles, but did a good job in that category as well.
And when he gets to corner, then he has the speed to burn it.
And that's when you get that mix in, you know, and that's when you can really pop some big plays. Long run of 20 today. So it's not like he had a 60-yard run to flip these numbers in his favor today. What else are we missing?
It was a long list.
There's a lot of stuff in
there. I haven't heard the update on Branch.
Right.
We haven't heard that officially yet, but, you know, carried off the field straight to the locker room. We'll see, I guess, in the post game that comes out in the next hour or two. And certainly from head coach Gus Bradley tomorrow, the severity of that.
Al, if I see you at the gas station, I'll give you a knowing look. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Saqib on the south side next up. Hi, Saqib. How are you?
Yeah.
There it is, Saqib.
Happy guy.
Hey, right this on. This is the first Sunday I can be actually happy, and I cannot wait to go to work tomorrow. Like, I can't wait till Monday, you know, because I got made fun of for weeks now. I mean, I lost a bet for I had the Jaguars. They needed one win for the first 6 weeks for me to get $100. I didn't get that bet because I lost last week. But that's fine. I don't care about the $100. All I care is about how this defense finally performed. They've done a great job. And I'm so proud of them. And I just hope Blake can these guys can figure out Fish and all these guys. I know I blame Fish for a lot of stuff, but they need to figure out how to get this kid in the right situation so he doesn't throw those interceptions. And I'm so happy right now, man. You have no idea.
Thank you, Saqib. I was going to ask him if he didn't bring it up. What did he think of the play call?
Yeah, how's that crow taste?
I don't think they put Blake in the bad situation. Blake made a couple of bad decisions, I thought, today. And you know, particularly the one when you're running towards the line of scrimmage and you're in chip shot field goal range, and you can make that a 7-point game as well as your defense is playing. That's not a Jet Fish. And Blake Bortles would be the first guy to tell you, and I think anybody would tell you, he cannot make that throw. And the other one, you know, got a little pressure in his face, kind of threw off his heels a little bit on the second one. And, you know, look, they're putting him in position to make plays. Look at the call on that read option for Blake Bortles that picked up a key first down. They're trusting him to read the defensive end. They've got a running game that is making that defensive end crash the line of scrimmage, and, you know, he gets the edge. I mean, that is a chance to make success. It's not a chance necessarily to throw the football, but that's one of the tools in his arsenal.
Yeah, it's something that opens up when the run game happens and you can get something established with a true back. You can play off of that a number of ways, whether it's play action, whether it's a read and a quarterback keep. Or
hearing Saqib makes me think I can make it through the week happy. It does.
It's still Sunday, Mike. It's a long week for you.
We're 2 hours in. We're 2 hours in.
It's a long, long week for you. Let's get one more.
355 NFL 1, Kevin in Savannah. You're next up here on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hey, I'm unbelievable. It's great. Couple of things, couple of observations. I think really two of the interceptions, the one, Denard and Cecil Short, if they would have been a little more aggressive, continuing into their route, they may have gotten a pass interference. So, I mean, they may not have been in great throws, but I really think a little bit of aggressive route running in those two situations, we could have been okay. But anyway, I'm glad to see that Jed Fish got away from the stretch plays. That our offensive line is not good enough for stretch plays. We need to go north and south. And I think Denard Robinson showed a lot of grit. Great win. Great to be a Jag fan. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you very much, Kevin. That's back-to-back calls praising Jed Fish's play calling.
Are we keeping score for the year?
That's awesome right there. We
still
got a
losing record.
We got a trend going.
Well, maybe he'll turn it around today in this post-game show. We'll take a time out on the Scoreboard Show. Come back with a look around the National Football League today. More of your phone calls. Jags win 24-6 over the Cleveland Browns. We continue after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
We're back in the Scoreboard Show, 24-6 Jaguars over the Cleveland Browns in Week 7. Jags are now 1-6. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and everybody's happy. Happy, happy, happy walking through the building here.
They're happy on the west side. They're happy in Orange Park. They're happy in Savannah. They're happy in Gainesville. They're happy across the pond, too, apparently. We're going to go there. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Our buddy Chris with the BCB UK chapter checking in. What's up, Chris? How are you?
I am in a very, very good mood, as I'm pretty sure all of Jacksonville and every member of the BCB and Teal Street Hooligans is right now.
No doubt about it, brother. I mean, as I think you expressed it well on Twitter. You gave out the big Duval on Twitter right after the game. I think that's the way Jag Nation is probably feeling right now.
Well, it was just nice because the win, you know, it relieves all that stress. It helps relieve some of that stress of, you know, getting blown out those first few games and then getting closer and getting closer and getting closer. But we had a running game today, and that was amazing.
Had a running game and a dominant defense. I mean, probably one of the best defensive performances we'll see. Colts pitch a shutout today. Good for them. But, I mean, I can't imagine it was much better than what the Jags were able to do defensively today.
No, from what I saw, we didn't. The Jags didn't allow, or the Jags is the only defense that didn't allow anyone to score in the second half of their games.
Yeah.
So that was very, very nice.
How about this? They take care of Miami, and we go for three in a row in Wembley in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing because I can pretty much guarantee there's going to be 83,000 plus people at Wembley cheering on England's team, UK's team, Europe's team, Jacksonville's team, the Jags versus America's team versus the Dallas Cowboys, obviously.
I like it. That sounds like a fun week.
We'll see you there.
well, JP, you've done it before.
You know
how fun it is.
It's fantastic, and hopefully the result will be a lot better this year, and it sounds like the folks going to be there in droves. It'll
Chris, we'll see you in a couple weeks, buddy.
Yeah, we'll do.
And we'll share a pint with him, I'm sure, when we're over there. You know, and it would have to be, Demps, this week Miami, then at Cincinnati, and then London. So
I'm skipping right ahead. Cincinnati trip.
That would make it four in a row in London. I just said it.
Fine. You know what? You think about it. First eight games last year, right? Every loss was double digits. So you did have the four blowout losses. Then you had a couple where it was definitely getting better. And now you get a victory, and in the fourth quarter became a resounding victory. So, you know, ahead of the curve, not the pace you want to be at. You'd prefer to be 7-0 right now, obviously, 6-1, but we'll take it. I didn't mean to skip the Bengal victory as well. Sorry about that.
I mean, come on now.
They all count, right? So, yeah, four in a row when the Jags head to London and take on the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to Diane in Mandarin next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm well. I'm glad they won today. Very good.
I think everybody is.
Yep.
I know they are. My question is, I have two quick questions. How come they seem to have such a struggle with clock management with the timeouts so early, right in the start of the game and then in the second half? And the other one is the Cleveland quarterback, and there's been a couple other teams as well, but Cleveland seemed to have all day to find a receiver and make their way around. We couldn't really get to them at all today. So I'll take my answers offline, and go Jaguars.
Right,
thanks
for the call. They got him on the ground a couple of times today, it seemed like.
Yeah, got a few sacks.
Defense played well, harassed him a little bit. They got the fumble. I mean, you know, that was a Hoyer play.
Three sacks in all. Cleveland only sacked Bortles twice today. It seemed like maybe more. But, hey, in terms of the timeouts, it is frustrating when it's early in a half and you have to burn a timeout or two early on. But when you got a rookie quarterback and he's already made a couple of questionable throws on the day, as Fred Taylor said, you know, he was happy to see him take a couple of those sacks today because you can live to fight another play. At worst, you get to punt it away to them and flip field position again. So sometimes you're better off if you get a look, and this was described on the broadcast by Jeff Logman and Tony Boselli, that Cleveland was mixing their looks on defense, and they thought for the first time they saw Blake kind of confused by what he saw out there today. So I get, you know, particularly if you're deep in your own territory, better to burn a timeout early in the third quarter than it is to go into a play that you know either has little chance of success or you're kind of feeling not sure about what they're trying to do and then maybe turning it over in that position. So it's not ideal, but it's better than some of the alternatives.
How about Mike Pettine trying to go for the kill and get that third timeout called with the change in 10 guys on and off the field, and the Jags were up to it. They didn't think they were up to it. They thought they had too many guys, but it worked out.
Hey, look, last week Gus Bradley justifiably got on himself for poor game management at times during that loss to Tennessee. That was a case where he stayed calm.
No doubt.
And he knew that if you substitute en masse, I have to have the opportunity to do that. Jags didn't panic. Dakota Watson may have panicked a little, thinking he was the 12th man. But even with 10 guys on the field, Jags stuffed that play for a big loss.
Yeah, because he had no hand in that play. He was running off.
He was running
side.
Off the field. Yeah. So, basically you're playing 10 on 11 there, stuffed them for a loss, and I think the fact that they stayed calm, didn't burn the timeout, maybe would have given Cleveland a chance to kind of regroup and do something a little bit more effective there. So kudos to Gus as well.
That's a good point, because Gus was taking some heat last week for that game management. And in that situation today, it was improvement, no doubt.
Out to McClenny next up. Kevin in McClenny joins us here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Great win. And I just thought Bortles had a good game. Okay, his passing game was off, but his, he can change plays. He didn't change plays and screw up anything. He didn't mishand off or, mishandle the snaps. And, that one run where he stuffed it in Robinson's belly and pulled it back and got a great run. I mean, the quarterback doesn't just throw the ball. He's the team, he's the team leader. And I thought he did great at that, even though he realized that he was having a problem passing the ball. And I think the coaches realized it, and they took advantage of what he could do.
You know what I think they should do with Bortles? Just start the game with 2 minutes on the clock and count down to 2 minutes and let him just start right then.
All kidding aside, we talked about this, JP.
It's incredible.
When he gets in that mode where he doesn't have time to really overthink anything and it's just go, 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 and let's hurry up to the line, he's been at his best. And we saw that again, and I think that's part of the reason why they said, all right, you know what, we're not going to sit on this football and be happy that it's only 6-0 at halftime. And they let him go, 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 and once again he came through. So I don't know if you can replicate that urgency early in the first quarter, for instance, but sometimes I'd like to see him try.
But, a day like today, you may not have needed to. They had the run game going. If that's going well, keep at it, and they did so today. Now, in terms of the handoff, the fake handoffs and the keepers and that, I mean, something we haven't seen a lot of this year because the run game hadn't happened, and since we haven't seen a lot of it, he executed it well. Both times he ran it, and that's great to see.
And we talked about this play a number of times, but that is a simple read for a quarterback.
Absolutely.
You're looking at the defensive end on the right side on that play, and if he tacks down to play the play fake to the running back, that's the only read you're having to make. If he sits home and doesn't come crashing, you give that ball to the tailback. So it's not really your choice. It's why it's called a read option. You're reading the defensive end, and the reason it was successful in that instance is because they finally got the running game going.
Anybody who's watched college football in the last 8 years already knew that.
Seen plenty of that, right?
That's just the way it goes.
That's that play in a nutshell. 355 NFL 1. Do we have time for another one?
Let's get one more.
Time?
Yeah,
let's go
sure.
to how about
we won, so get another
Pat
one.
Pat in Fleming Island, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. First of all, that was just about as dominant a defense as I've seen out of the Jaguars ever. They covered up so many offensive mistakes. That was just spectacular. That could have been a blowout had the defense not come through and for the offensive mistakes. But Jed Fish calls great plays on first and second down, but he folds like a lawn chair on third down. He must be – I've never seen more worse calls, more bad play calling on third down. I wish he would pretend like he's going for a touchdown from the 5-yard line. We seem to do that well, but third and three, two times we go for everything. One third and 14, when we're right in the middle of the field, where it's going to be a punt and a short punt anyway, we don't even go for the first down. We pick up 6.5 yards, and then we do another punt. another short punt. It's so frustrating, his third down calls. As long as we can move the ball down on first and second down all the way down, we're fine. But every time it comes to third down, I just shake my head. What do you guys think?
All right. I mean, look, they're certainly not very good on third down today. And I understand when I remember one in particular, the third and three, and he takes a shot downfield to Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Go back and watch last Thursday's game, all right, the Patriots and the Jets. Same exact thing. Third and short, multiple times in that game, Brady throws deep down the field. Because what happens is defense is anticipating. You're going to play within 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, and you can hit big plays over the top in those instances. Now, what happens? Did you convert them? No. In this instance, you didn't hit those plays, but you also didn't turn it over. Yeah, you lived to fight another day. Your defense was playing well. You took a couple of shots. When your offense was struggling to string together those drives today, maybe that one big play over the top when they're looking to guard you within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage can be the difference, you know, and kind of open things up for you.
That's funny, man, because people are complaining that, oh, they're not getting the first down and they're throwing deep too much and trying to go. Well, everybody's complaining about them not going deep enough. Now they're throwing the ball deep, but you can't win if you're Jed Fish, can you? I mean,
come on. Say, you need to be happier about this whole situation. Don't let that get to you, JP. Learn from the happy guy right here.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm just making sure everybody else is, too. I mean, you can't get it all, right?
That's fine. You know what? You could deal with that, though. When you have these questions and you say, man, these things, next time they'll come back to bite us, because they didn't come back to bite you this time because you won the game.
That's right. Hey, Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Ford, go further. When we return, an update of scores in the National Football League. Some games active in the 4 o'clock time slot. More of your calls coming up, too. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is a victorious scoreboard show. We're all happy on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, to get in on the Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. It's the Scoreboard Show for a reason. We check scores around the National Football League as well. The Chargers lead the Chiefs 14-13. That's 7:33 to play in the third. Early third quarter in Oakland, the Cardinals over the Raiders 14-10. And they've just started the third quarter in Dallas. The Cowboys and the Giants tied at 14. The Giants have the ball. And, of course, tonight, Niners-Broncos. That's at 8:30 on NBC.
And now the Raiders can worry about the first pick of the draft as of right now.
Are we going to go there now?
I'm saying for them.
Yeah, hold on.
We're not going there for us, and we're going there for them.
You just went there in general.
Jags are going 10-6. I don't know what the Raiders are going to do from the looks
of it.
They may go 0-16.
You just said the D word.
When it comes to the Raiders.
In October.
When it comes to the Raiders, I think it's applicable. Not the Red Hot Jaguars.
Okay.
Happy.
Great.
Happy. 355-NFL-1.
Rainbows.
355-6351.
Glasses half full.
Did I not come in here today
and tell you today.
I had a feeling, an irrational feeling, that today was the day?
That was the first thing you said to me today.
I did.
And I was like, this is not the Mike Dempsey I know.
I'm a cynic. I'm a doubter.
That's why I didn't believe
it at
first.
Right.
You are very cynical.
You got to believe sometimes, JP.
I think you might be a little cynical now. That's okay.
No.
We'll find out this
week. No.
No, never.
Let's find out what Aaron is thinking right now on the Scoreboard Show as we go down to St. Augustine. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
My 30th birthday, I took 9 other family members to the game and pulled it out. Bortles gave them 3 points just to see if they could keep up.
Right on. Hey, have you ever taken 9 other family members to the game?
No. This is the first time. I said I'm turning 30th birthday on the 19th of October. I'm going to the game. Are y'all coming with me? And they all rallied and said, we're going with you. We showed up, cheered our butts off. And, man, what a great game to go to.
You know you're coming next week, right?
With 9 guys or 9 family members, because you see the corollary here, right?
Right, yeah. I don't know if I can go next week, but hey.
Come on now. We had a guy from Guatemala come up to us in the pregame show, right? First time he'd ever been to a game.
Well, I only turned 30 one time, so I do what I can. But like I said, Bortles gave them 3 points, see if they could keep up. They had nothing for us. The Jaguars just crushed them. What a great game. I loved every second of it.
Happy birthday, Aaron.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. All right, buddy.
There you go.
We'll see you next
week.
Was
it France?
It was France. It wasn't Guatemala.
How did I think that was
Guatemala? France.
Guatemala, Tony. Unbelievable.
You know.
All right. Well, we had a guy come up from another country today and said this is his first game, and we said if they win, you need to keep coming back.
It's like your foreign accents. Every time you do one, it winds up being Australian.
That's right. Yeah.
Go on, give us a
world.
British accent, Mike.
Good night, mate.
Yeah,
see?
Well done.
All right.
France, not Guatemala.
France indeed. Travis in St. Mary's next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, right, Travis, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal. That was a great win today. You got all these people calling in that have complaints about Blake Bortles and so on, about the third downs and everything. But whenever you can't pass the ball, you got a good run game to lean on. And whenever last week, whenever you couldn't run the ball, you had a good pass game. So all in all, I think that's a pretty good win.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't even think there are many people really complaining all that much. They're pointing out a few things. And we've said it for 6 weeks, JP. If you win, you can point out the flaws and say these are things we need to work on. And there are always going to be things to work on, but it's a lot easier to do with a W in your pocket.
What did John Madden always say? Winning is a great deodorant. Right?
Is that what he said?
I think so. I don't know if that applies in this scenario.
Boom!
But, you know, he did, but that was one of the things he said.
All right.
And because, you know, some things weren't going well for this team right now. Some things still aren't going well. Bortles didn't have a great day. You can pick a nitpick here or there, but in the end, the W is all that matters. Right?
W is the most important thing. And you know what? Like, maybe not a close second, but second, third, whatever, running game, running the ball, moving it on the ground, and having some hope going forward that maybe this guy, Denard Robinson, the former offensive weapon turned running back, could be part of the answer, part of the solution. And the defense now, three good performances in a row. This one was particularly dominant, I thought, and you know, so a lot to build on.
And it's different because of those second half turnovers. They jumped on the ball that they didn't jump on last week, remember? It was the similar play.
That's a great point.
They jumped on it. They were the only guys there. Somebody jumped on it. Posluszny had it, returned it, and it was a questionable close play like that, just like the one last
jumped
week.
On that one, jumped on the muff punt. I mean, so took advantage of opportunities that were there, you know, played heads-up football.
Telvin today. Smith had the interception, took it back deep.
Telvin Smith was remarkable
10.
Today.
Great game. So I mean, that's the difference in the defense today. Those timely plays deep in Browns territory and got the offense set up close, and they punched it in.
Fred Taylor pointed it out, three straight weeks. Chris Glover, maybe it was I think it was Fred, might have been Jeff Logman on the broadcast, that three straight weeks for Chris Clemens to get to the quarterback.
And so that's good, because there were some people starting to get on Clemens. Some fans were kind of down on him this year. And
that's what happens.
He's come along. He's a veteran in the league, and just keep fighting.
Look, when you're 0-6, there are reasons to get down on a lot of things. Right now you should feel less reason. Today, for this week at least, and like the previous caller said, no 24-hour rule. This is a full 7-day rule. If you're a Jaguar fan, enjoy the heck out of this one. Frederick and Savannah, you're next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man.
Oh yeah, I just first of all, congratulations for the win. But I don't know how much y'all talked about it, but the only thing I want to say is Telvin, and do y'all think that he deserved the starting position? Based on how he played today over Geno Smith. And then another thing that I want to add was I really feel like Allen Robinson is really a good playmaker. Not just because he made the touchdown, but I see that a lot of times Blake Bortles was like missing him in stride, and I think that he could be a real good playmaker. So I want to know what y'all thought about that.
All right, easy mistake to make. Geno Hayes, not Geno Smith.
Yeah, you know, we knew what he meant. But
yeah, just point it out. You know, clearly Telvin, much like Denard Robinson, you play well, you're going to get more playing time. It's that simple. He made plays today. They're trying not to overwhelm him with too much, trying to put him in position. If they deem he's ready to get in that lineup, look, it's coming. It's sooner rather than later if he continues to play this way. So, and Allen Robinson's got sticky hands, man.
Yeah, you know what? That play today where he kept his feet for the touchdown was pretty strong, because a lot of guys would have gone down right there on that play. He made the catch in a tight window, stayed on his feet, kept the play going, and scored.
Had a third down grab of about 5 yards with a guy all over his back. You know, you move the sticks. Those are big plays in this game today.
And I think the final tally for him was 7 targets today. So he was second on the team in targets. Shorts was targeted 9 times and only made 3 catches. Robinson, 7 targets, 4 catches. And we heard in the pregame that there's no specific amount of targets per guy. They're not going for one guy over another. It's just the progression. It happened last week 16 times Shorts was targeted. Just that was how it worked out last week. But closer this week, and that's something that you might see a lot of similar totals of targets. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you'll get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Today, Josh Scobie hit from 30 yards in his only attempt, so nobody's eating free subs this week. You got to pay.
I think everyone's okay with that.
Yeah, so they'll take the win over the no subs. Well, the final score today, 24-6. We'll come back with the final segment of the Scoreboard Show. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter. Hacker and T-Wig are standing by as well. We'll get to that coming up. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. Jags win 24-6 over the Browns. You can buy a single game pass for the JTA Stadium shuttle service to and from Jags games and easily avoid parking hassles. For locations, prices, and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com. You can use that next week. Miami Dolphins come to Everbank Field. Injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. 3 real notables today. Paul Posluszny with a pectoral strain, had a sling on. That was a report in the postgame. Andre Branch, groin injury, looked bad coming off. No true word on that yet. A Bowenko with an ankle injury today, was in and out of the ball game, came out late. No real word on the x-rays were negative.
Negative.
On that. That's the latest on the injury report today, and we have time for a couple more calls here, Mike.
Let's do it as we go 355-NFL-1-2.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Holding.
I wanted to mention.
Holding pattern.
We mentioned earlier tonight the Gus Bradley post-game speech in the locker room. It is now posted on Jaguars.com if you want to check it out.
You'll
right
enjoy
now.
This.
It is exclusive content right there.
You'll enjoy this.
Should be good.
No doubt about it. Coming up. All right.
Sorry
out to Mandarin we go. No.
My bad.
Hey, look, you can't ruin my good mood. I'm in a good mood. I got 7 more days of this, all right? Leo in Mandarin, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys, thanks for getting me in, man. Hey, listen, what an excellent win. Congratulations, Jaguars. But most importantly, congratulations, Gus Bradley. I'm proud of him for winning this football game, man, and putting a good, well-executed football game. I told y'all last week these are the kind of games he got to win and should win, and I thought he would win. And I believe that, and I really do. You know why? Because I believe in Blake Bortles' belief in himself. Let me tell you know you got a good football team is when your quarterback throws 3 picks and you win 24-6, people. And you know what? It's going to be a process. And I know y'all tired of hearing that word. But let me tell you something. What did we say before? Years past. We got to get pressure on the quarterback. We got to get pass rush. Dude, we're leading the league right now in sacks. Dave Caldwell, good job. We got a franchise quarterback. Good job. Now it's got to all get put together. And I'm with you, Mike. And see, and it's okay to start talking the D word. But, Mike, you know what's funny that you said, bro, to which I said today? And this is what really should be taboo and banned. I'm on that 10-6 train, buddy. I'm expecting this week in and week out. And you know what? I believe it. And I think these guys are going to win more games than just 1 or 2. This is a good football team, man. And the stats, I thought the stats were lying before. How could you be leading the league in sacks or tied for second in 0-6? You know, good. Plus, Lesney's like one of the top tacklers in the league. We got a good football team, man, and we're going to start putting it together, man. I'm real happy about this win. Y'all have a good one.
Believe, Leo. Believes.
Yes, sir.
That's a good call right there. All right, we're going to wrap and see if Terrence on the south side can top it. And if you don't get in, 641-1010, 904-641-1010 to get in with the fifth quarter with Hacker and T-Wig coming up. Terrence on the Scoreboard Show on the south side. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mike, JP.
What's up?
What's going on, guys? If the Jags would have lost this game, I was going to blame the offensive coordinator. But,
But since they didn't, Terrence. But since they didn't, are you going to blame him anyway?
No. It was a couple of plays that that kind of made me mad that I was like, I can't believe he did this. But with Blake, I'm going to tell you what, too, now, Mike. Blake is learning how to throw interceptions and when to throw them. He's making – I think that's something you got to learn how to do, too. So the interceptions within the middle of the field where there's traffic, Nobody could pick it off and run it for a touchdown. So he's learned how to throw interceptions.
Oh, well, that's a highly advanced skill, Terrence. I'm going to throw a couple today. Yeah, I'm going to pick my spots, though.
That's developing, right?
Terrence, that may be the ultimate glasses half full statement anybody's ever made.
He's learning a lot.
We appreciate you, brother. There you go. That guy's learning no matter.
Smart.
Good performance, bad performance. He's always learning on the job, JP. I don't know what I can add to that.
I don't see it. On that note, it's time for us to get out of here on the Scoreboard Show. Jags win it 24-6. Jags Dolphins this coming Sunday at Everbank Field, a 1 o'clock kick. We'll go on air at 10 o'clock here locally with the Public Tailgate Show for 2 hours, then countdown to kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network for the final hour from noon to 1. Our thanks to Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, Joe Fortunato is the manager of radio. For Mike Dempsey, for everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for your calls. The fifth quarter show with Hacker and T-Wick coming up on Jaguars Radio.